So we've been doing Dangers, Toils, and Snares. It's been a series about living the Christian life. Often we call the Christian life a walk. By calling it a walk, there's recognition, there's acknowledgement that to live as a Christian means to travel, to move. We want to journey to a destination that we've not yet reached, not yet attained. Personally, I think it's a long road. I think it often goes uphill. And for all of us to realize and sense, you know what, it's possible in this walk to come up short. And just to walk is a perilous thing to do. To move is perilous. There's many perils for those who are walking. So we encounter various dangers, toils, and snares on our Christian pilgrimage and our Christian walk. We have to work at some things, toil at some things to get there. We've got to be able to go the distance. We have to have climbed the mountain. It's possible, of course, that you could take a wrong turn. Then it doesn't matter how far you go, because you're going the wrong way. You could fall in the ditch. Could be wounded or injured, no longer making the journey because you're in the ditch. I think there's people who are in the ditch and are stuck there. Cold weather country, like where I grew up, could get stuck in the ditch. So on the journey, you could get stuck there. Of course, you could just stop. Sick of walking. Just lost interest or strength. So I just decided to quit walking. You might get waylaid by an enemy. The enemy hinders you from making the journey, imprisons you, takes you captive. You could run out of supplies, things that you need to make the journey. Maybe you decide when you run out of supplies, it's time to turn back. Let's go back to where we came from. So many things can go wrong that would prevent you in your walk from reaching the destination. So we've been considering some of the dangers, toils, and snares, some of the things that could go wrong in our Christian walk. So we're near the end of the series. I want you to think about this thing that we're supposed to do, namely walk. I want you to think of your walk. I hope even hearing that word brings to mind various scriptures about walking. Walk by faith. Walk in love. Walk by the Spirit. Walk as children of the light. Walk by this rule that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but a new creation. Walk worthy of your calling. As you have received Christ, so walk in Him. Walk in the same manner as He walked. So I want you to think about your walk. Think about the walking that you will do tomorrow. Think about the walking that you'll do on Tuesday, Election Day. Just think about your walk. I want to begin by recalling an old joke. It's a scene. It's a person, maybe a little group of people, in a lobby, in a reception area of some sort. And this person or this little group of people, they gets greeted by a receptionist who comes up to them, who says to them, "Please, walk this way." But then the receptionist turns to move towards whatever is the destination, but the receptionist has some type of peculiarity about their walk. A little hitch in their giddy-up somehow. They limp a little bit, maybe drag their left foot. So then everyone following imitates the limp. Because she said, "Walk this way." Or drags their foot, so they all troop off walking that way. That joke is actually a good reminder that walk this way can speak to both destination, the place you're going to walk to,
but also can speak to manner.
What the activity of walking consists of.
When the scripture speaks about our walk, I think it's concerned with both where we are going, namely destination, but the scripture is also concerned about how we do the traveling, the manner, the means of our walking. That walking as a Christian is about both where one is going, but also how one is getting there. What it is that you are doing when you are walking. Here's an example, what I'm trying to get at from something that's similar. Actually, I think it's related to this idea of walking. In the Lord's Prayer, we make a request that the will of God would be done. We make a request that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, is typically understood to be referencing degree. That it's a phrase that references the degree to which God's will would be done on earth. Well, God's will is done perfectly in heaven, so the prayer is, may it be done perfectly on earth. They do a good job of God's will in heaven. Let us do a good job here on earth with God's will. You know, the primary focus in heaven is God's will. It should be the primary focus here on earth. So it's a matter of degree. That understanding is legitimate and it's good. God's will is done fully in heaven. And to pray that it be done fully on earth is a good prayer. But the phrase, on earth as it is in heaven, doesn't speak only to degree. It also speaks to manner, to means. The phrase requests that God's will would be done on earth the same way it's done in heaven. If in heaven everybody wears pink hats when they do God's will, then the prayer is that here on earth we would wear pink hats when doing God's will, that it would be done on earth the same way that it's done in heaven. A very good thing to wonder about is how is God's will done in heaven? Because that phrase speaks not only to degree, done perfectly, done to a full extent, done as a primary focus. It also speaks to manner, to how it's done. So how do they do God's will in heaven? What's the difference in this prayer? The will of God be done in the election. Or the will of God be done in the election as it is in heaven. When we pray, as you probably have, as I have, Lord, may your will be done in the election. Usually we mean by that, who's going to get in, who's not going to get in, what measures are going to pass, what measures are not going to pass, right? God's will, God must be on somebody's side. We want whoever side God is on, God's will to be done, that the checklist that God has, that those people would get in, or those measures would pass, or whatever. Usually God's will be done in the election, that's what we mean. God wants Clinton, Clinton would get in. If God wants Trump, Trump would get in. If God wants this proposition to pass, it would pass. If God's against that proposition, it would fail. But what about the prayer, may the will of God be done in the election as it is in heaven? And I'm like, well, what does that mean? That's a very good thing to think about. I want to encourage you to do exactly that. Because maybe God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven doesn't speak to just is it A or B, up or down. But so what do they? Is that what they do in heaven? How do they do God's will in heaven? You know, do angels get a job description with to do God's will? This is what you have to do every day. Here are your duties. and they all fulfill their list of duties, you know, well, is that how God's will is done? So what is that prayer? We often make it sound like to walk in a Christian way is solely a matter of where you want to go. That to walk as a Christian means being that you're for marriage and family. To walk as a Christian means that you're against abortion, you know, or that you're attentive to the poor and the disadvantaged. That a Christian walk means is that you oppose pornography. Or maybe to walk as a Christian means that you think people ought to go to church on Sunday, you know, or have fair business practices. You know, maybe to walk as a Christian means don't be exploitative of natural resources, you know, or be a law-abiding citizen. But walking as a Christian tends to mean going to those places. Pro-family, against abortion, against pornography, pro-environment. Walking as a Christian, we tend to understand, means going to those places. So if you go to such places, then you're walking as a Christian. But the New Testament is full of verses that I think have a different feel. So consider just what some of the verses of the New Testament say. Some of them are well known. So we too might walk in newness of life. The earlier part of the verse says, we have been crucified with Christ, and even as Christ was raised up by the glory of the Spirit, so we too might walk in newness of life. We walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by the Spirit. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. There's a significant chunk of New Testament letters represented right there. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. All of these verses speak of walking. So their concern is with living the Christian life, doing the Christian journey, moving towards the goal. But the concern of the verses is not where one is going, is it? Rather, the concern is how you do it. Do it by the Spirit. Do it by faith. Do it in newness of life. Do it the same way that you received Christ. Do it in a manner that's worthy of your calling. There's lots of concern here, not for the destination, not for the place that you're going, but for the manner of our walking. The New Testament is full of these kinds of verses. So ask yourself, what needs to be true of a person in order to walk in the manner advocated in just these verses? What has to be true of the person in order to walk in a manner that's advocated in these verses? What has to be true for your walking to be by the Spirit? What has to be true of that person that their walk is by the Spirit? What has to be true of a person for their walk to be by faith? What has to be true for the walking to be walking in the newness of life? What has to be true that the walking is in the same way that you received Christ? You're walking in the same manner as you have received them. If you take the obvious answers to my questions there, well, Roger, you need to have the Spirit to walk by the Spirit. Duh, right? You need to have faith in order to walk by faith. You need to have new life if you want to walk in newness of life. You need to have received Christ in order to walk in the same way as you received Him. So a person who has received Christ has new life, has faith, has the Spirit What kind of person is that? So he answered that question. Person who has received Christ, has new life, has faith, has the Spirit. What kind of person is that? Democrat? Republican? Independent? What kind of person is it? It's the obvious answer. Christian. You know, that's what a Christian is. A Christian is a person who has received Christ, has new life in him, has faith in Christ, and been given the Spirit of God. Christian. That yields an important and rather remarkable, or perhaps surprising conclusion. The Bible extends considerable effort to tell Christians to walk as Christians. The Bible wants to let being a Christian determine where you walk, the destination, but also, and even especially, the Bible is concerned to tell Christians, let being a Christian determine how you walk. By the Spirit, by faith, in newness of life, worthy of your calling. Let being a Christian determine how you walk. I want to highlight a verse that we've talked about before. It highlights something that the Apostle Paul himself thought needed to be mentioned a lot, or at least he did mention it a lot. We've seen Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Corinthians. Here's Philippians. Many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Paul says, many walk. That many is sobering, isn't it? Examples of what he's talking about aren't hard to find. Many walk this way. And what he says is when these people travel down the road, when they walk, they are enemies of the cross. He doesn't say they're enemies of Jesus Christ. He says they're enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. So how does one walk down the road as an enemy of the cross? How do you travel as an enemy of the cross of Jesus Christ? I think the answer to that is, well, you walk as if the cross had no effect. You walk as if you had not been crucified with Christ. You walk in a manner as if the cross did not, has not, put some things to death in you. That by sharing in the cross of Christ, that being identified with Christ in his cross and in his death, but you walk in a manner as if all those things that the cross brought to an end, they haven't come to an end for you. All you have to do is watch your walk. If you believe in Jesus, there are things that have passed away by sharing in his cross. You have been crucified with him. You've been identified with him in his death on the cross. So there are things that, if you believe in Jesus, that your identification with him, those things have passed away. It's important for all of us in our walks this week to not walk as if nothing is dead and gone in our lives. An analogy, an imperfect analogy actually, but an analogy might be a couple gets married, but then in their walks, they live as if nothing of their previous manner of life is now over. It's like Daniel and Kimmy got married this summer. If they both live now, nothing in their previous life is now over. That wouldn't work very well for living now, walking as married folks, would it? Here, the analogy isn't perfect because it's not like the life they were living as singles is sinful or something. So it's not accurate in that sense. But if they both lived as if nothing kind of had passed away of their former manner of life, they wouldn't walk as married people. New things have rightfully entered the picture that come into the picture after their marriage. But there are also old ways of living that are now over, right? You know, if I said to Kimmy, next weekend, let's you and me do such and such. Kimmy goes, I got to check with my husband. I'm like, you never, I used to have to do with that. She says, but she's saying to me, Dad, that manner of living is now over for me. I just can't say, yes, I'm free. I got to check with Daniel. So there are old ways of living that are now over. It's the kind of thing you might say when you say, hey, you're married now. You can't just blank. Kimmy can't just decide to spend a weekend with her dad because she's married now. But if you've been crucified with Christ, there are some things that are over now. They have passed away. And if you walk as if they haven't passed away, that's called walking as an enemy of the cross. Many, many, Paul says, I've often told you, says, now I tell you even weeping, many walk as enemies of the cross. And that second part of the passage there, things that should be passed away haven't. That's why that list is what it is. Because the things that the cross would bring to an end, their appetites, what they glory in, what they set their minds on, they haven't passed away. They're all occupied, walking in those things. If you followed me around this coming week, if you observed my walk, if you saw me doing things now in my walking that were part of my life before Christ, before I had faith, before I had the Spirit, before I had new life, before I had been called by Him. If you saw me doing things in my walk that were part of my life before Christ, you could rightfully say to me, Roger, I think you have died to some of those things. Those things have passed away. You can't still walk in them. Those things were ended when you were crucified with Christ. Or if I followed you around, and if in your walk you were occupied with things that being crucified would end. But if all week you're occupied with things that would end, would be over if you were crucified, but that's what you're occupied with, that's what you're thinking about, that's what your mind is set upon, I could rightfully say to you, don't walk as an enemy of the cross. Those appetites and those lusts, they were put to death when Christ died. They were put to death in you when you were crucified with Him. Those earthly things that you got your mind set on, dead folks don't worry about such things. And you have died. Your life is hid with Christ. So, 2 points. When the Bible says to us, please walk this way, the destination is important. There are places, if you're going to follow Christ, there are places that are included, there are places that are excluded. The destination is important. We're going to Jerusalem, not Babylon, that kind of idea. So the destination is important, but walk this way also and always involves how the walk is done. And you have to be a Christian to have a Christian walk. Because walking involves the employment of that which we have found in Christ. It's actually the majority of New Testament exhortations about our walk. They are about how we do it. Not about where we're going, about how we do it. About the manner. We do one application since it's election week. I want you to be deeply convinced that the country, not just you as an individual, but the country cannot turn back to a Christian way without turning to Christ. It's very important that you're convinced of that truth. The country can't turn in the Christian way that, well, let's all be pro-marriage and pro-family and for justice in our streets and help the poor, let righteousness flow through our streets. The country cannot turn into a Christian way without turning to Christ. Because the Christian walk is about something that's done by faith and by the Spirit in a newness of life and worthy of the call and in the same manner that you've received Christ. You can't do that if you don't have Christ. It's not just a matter of we want to go to certain places, you know, that we think God is in favor of. How? If I played all my cards at the moment, I actually think that you cannot go to the place the Lord has for us to go to unless you do the how right. You can't get there except by faith. You can't get there except by the Spirit. There's no other avenue to get there. But that idea that pervades the New Testament. To urge Christians to walk as Christians in many, many walk. I can tell you with tears. Many walk as if being in Christ didn't in fact end some things for them. But those things are now over because of being in Christ. So here's perhaps the biggest danger of the journey, of the walking, that we could walk as enemies of the cross. Many and do indeed walk in such a manner. They walk as if being in Christ brought nothing to an end. So what's desired, what's pursued in the walk, what's indulged in the walk, what's thought important in the walk, what the hearts and the minds are set on during the walk, they are, in fact, things that should be and can be set aside. Put that all aside. Lay that aside. It's all passed away. It's been crucified with Christ. Like you're dead to all that stuff, lay it aside. You've been crucified with Him. But to walk as an enemy, well, I didn't set it aside. I didn't put it off. I'm occupied with it during my walking. That's what it means to walk as an enemy of the cross. Many walk that way. I hope that stirs you about this thing that we're all supposed to do of walk. Wherever you go this week, walk as a Christian. Wherever you go, let your walk be by faith. Let your walk be by the Spirit. Let your walk be worthy of the calling with which you were called. Let your walk be according to this rule. Not circumcision, not uncircumcision, but new creation. That's what matters. Let your walk be kind of like I've been crucified with Christ. Old things have passed away. New things have come. My walk reflects the absence of those old things, pressing on into the growing in the new things. Let your walk be in newness of life. So just do the obvious thing. You're a Christian, walk as a Christian. It's amazing that the New Testament exhortation is just exactly along that lines. You know, tell Christians to walk as Christians. Not just where they're going, but how they do that. So I hope that stirs your thought. I think that's the biggest danger for all of us. That we would walk without reference to all those resources, to that reality that we find by being in Christ, by Him being with us. Now let's pray together. Father, we hear these exhortations from your word about our walk. Father, we see how they speak not just to where we want to go, but how we do it. So, Father, we pray that you would teach us how to walk. Father, even as we have received your Son, that we would so walk in him. That having been made alive by your Spirit, we would walk in your Spirit. We would walk by our faith in you, that we would walk by the new life that we have found in your Son. Father, help our manner of walking to be worthy of the calling to which you called us. Father, we pray that, Father, in our walking, we would demonstrate, Father, a friendship with the cross of Christ. That we would not be its enemies, but let its work in us be shown in how we live. Father, help each one of us, Father, this week, to walk in a manner that's pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen.